You're listening to
The Classroom Collaborative
podcast with your hosts, Dee Dee Wills,
Ed Rock,
and Adam Peterson.
Here we go.
We're so glad you're here.
Let's get started.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. I am completely honored and blown away by having the two authors who I've actually lived with for the last 6 months. They don't know it, but I've lived with them for the last 6 months. The authors of the book, Shifting the Balance. So I have Jan Berkins and Carrie Yates with me. Thank you so much for coming and being here on such last minute short notice.
Our pleasure. We are so excited to be here. And I mean, who doesn't want to hang out with Mrs. Will's kindergarten group? Oh, yeah.
Woo! So this is going to be kind of originally those people who are popping in right now, we were doing an online book study. So we were doing two chapters a week. We were supposed to do chapter 3 and 4. We're going to put that aside because although it's great to go through the chapter, when we have like the real McCoy here, we are going to take advantage of having them with us. So those of you who are popping in, would you please just really quick find that chat? I would love for you to tell me where you are in the world so that we can get you chatting. We want to make sure that you can see that function. Hello from New York City. We got some people here. And also, if you have a teaching BFF that is not on here, tag them so that they know what's going on. I know that, like I said, this was a very last minute kind of party of three, plus everybody else who's here. But we want to make sure everybody can find it. So, wonderful. We're seeing lots of people popping in from Baltimore, Nevada, Texas, Kokomo. My husband lived in Kokomo.
Kokomo.
Nevada. Yep. Okay. So wonderful. Lovely. Lovely. Now, ladies, I don't know. Can you see my comments coming through?
Yeah.
You can see them coming through. Fantastic.
Yes, you can. Okay. Holy Moses.
I know.
We are Wisconsin. There's Minnesota, my home state.
All of you coming through.
Oh, Florida.
Heart happy. Florida. No, here. So first grade from North Carolina as well. Wow. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for being here. If you have not, I'm going to do something a little techie. We're just going to see if this works because y'all know sometimes it doesn't. So let's go ahead. I want to have you. There should be a link that just popped up in there by me sharing that. And it is the link so that you can join the giveaway because these ladies not only are giving their time, but they're also giving away a huge grand prize, two of the same. It's a ticket, a seat to be part of their online learning community. And it starts tomorrow, right?
Yeah, our online class starts tomorrow, and we'd be so excited to have anyone from your group join us, and we want to give away some seats.
Yeah.
Wonderful. It's asynchronous, so you don't have to actually be in your seat tomorrow.
Yeah, we have a couple live events, but it's mostly just do it when it works with your busy schedule, whatever part of the world you are in.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had read that they would have access till the beginning of November. Is that true?
Or yes.
Am I making up stories? Okay. So the beginning of, so that gives them plenty
of time. I'm going to grab my cheat sheet.
Oh yeah. Carrie's going to check the date. We're date challenged.
I think it said November 3rd. You guys have a lot of
date challenged. Yes. Actually November 14th.
Oh, see there.
They have access. So September 13th through November 14th. There's 6 weeks of fresh content. So we roll out fresh content every Monday for 6 weeks. But then there's like 3 bonus weeks for if you got behind or you want more time to review or go back over some things. So yeah, 9 total weeks to do 6 weeks of work.
And those 6 weeks, Dee Dee, they line up to the 6 shifts that are in each of the chapters. So there's a module for each of the chapters in the book. Perfect. So your group who's reading the book will find that the class just takes the content deeper.
Yeah. And I find for myself, like, even though, you know, I might have read something one time, when I go back and read it again, I get something else. But then when I can have that conversation or just sort of that, you know, even if I'm just listening in on the conversation with other people, my understanding goes deeper, which is, I guess, every teacher's like, yeah, duh, Dee Dee, we know that. But for teachers learning as well, this is something that's going to be really helpful for them to not just get a surface understanding, but a really deep understanding of what it is that you've shared in your book.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we've gotten feedback from teachers who have taken the class that have really, we've gotten some feedback that is like, well, I kind of wondered how much, you know, deeper could you go than the book, but it really helped me pull things together. And,
oh,
and
wonderful.
We try to really, we know teachers are busy and they need to know that science, but also they need to know what can they do tomorrow with kids. And that's really a big focus of that class, is really actionable ways to bring this alive in your classroom.
You know, I found that as I was going through, Julie wants to know if they can join the class even if they can't win, if they don't win. Yes.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Is there a way to put the
link on there for that?
The link to the online class page from our site.
So it should be sharing here in just a second, but I'm going to go ahead and manually pop it in there as well. It's pretty, y'all, it's pretty amazing. I was looking through it. I'm like, this looks really like something that would really help somebody, you know, to kind of give you two ladies and people who are listening a background. Deanna Jump and I started looking at The Science of Reading about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And as we were reading it, we were hearing like no more guided reading. And we were like, what? And, you know, we were in a major state of denial. It was like the first time I found out the Twinkies weren't good for you. You know, it's like, I can't be. What? How could something so amazing?
Twinkies aren't good for you?
I was just not going to have any of that. So, but the more we heard and the more we researched, the more we realized that this was a shift. So when you have all of that background, I think a lot of teachers have a guided reading balanced literacy background, and now you're asked to kind of put all of that in a different pocket and think in a different way. It's a tough transition, but your book really was one of the, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. I mean, it would just, it made it like somebody was holding your hand and going, it's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. Oh, here comes Ozzy. You're going to be fine. You're going to, you know, and it just was a nice way to step into it. And also make us realize we know some things, we just have, you know, even more that we want to learn. So I love that.
Absolutely.
It's important to us to, I mean, we know teachers are so hardworking and they've got so much coming at them. And, it's hard to have to take like a really honest look at practices you've been committed to. We know this because, you know, it sounds like we've been on a really similar journey. You know, having to ask ourselves, what is all this pushback about some of our practices, and, you know, and what are we missing or misunderstanding? But ultimately, we want to really change outcomes for kids.
Right.
But we know that part of that, it's understanding the science of reading and what we need to technically change about our practice. But also, as adults, we've got to take care of ourselves and each other along the way. And that really matters to us, is that we, you know, if we're all feeling kind of panicked and overwhelmed, that's not good for kids either. So we really want to,
I don't know where the expression came from. It might be from my grandma, but she, you know, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, we don't want to throw out everything that we know as a teacher. We just need to make a couple of changes here and there. Let's see, I'm a reading teacher this year. Does this book address my role? Yes. Like this is absolutely what you're going to be wanting to pick up and look at. So it's just shifting the balance by these two ladies, Jan Birkins and Carrie Yates. And I love the way that it's organized as well. And that it steps into each area gently, like it gently walks you through it, gives you the science and gives you the, you know, the things to think about. And, and the way that you made me think, first of all, I really appreciated it. It made me think beyond what I normally would go, where I would normally go. But I can see every every teacher being able to identify with those stories that you shared and mm-hmm. then the next steps for instruction.
Mm-hmm. We built the, you know, the chapters are written around common misunderstandings, which seems to resonate with people, and then coming in with those high leverage routines. So each misunderstanding, there are four or five misunderstandings in each chapter. Mm-hmm. Each misunderstanding is unpacked in light of the science. And then we come in the second half of the chapter, it kind of pivots from the science to easy to implement instructional practices. Mm-hmm. And really the whole book is, it's cumulative. You know, those practices build one on another, and the order of the chapters matters. We were really intentional about, you know, beginning with language comprehension. And, you know, there's a reason that chapter six is chapter six and chapter five is chapter five and all of that. So,
yes. We had somebody ask, can you speak of the general premise of the book? Do you all mind if I just go ahead and go over that really quick?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the book is The Six Shift, Shifting the Balance. And it's taking those teachers who have lived in the balanced literacy world and now understand we need to change some things in our instruction so that we can keep what the science tells us is best for kids in mind as we're planning new instruction. So it takes us through different things, like first chapter is really on reading comprehension. The next one's phonemic awareness. The next one is on phonics, high frequency word instruction, and looking at the three cueing system for guided reading that we've used in the past, the MSV. Prompting and reading. Then what do beginning reader text
collecting text, like? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So those are the three areas that they've unpacked for us. So hopefully that helps. This book has been fantastic for those areas. Just reimagining what we used to think, what we now know, and how we can make changes in our classroom to be supportive of what students need.
Well, one of the big ideas that we sort of the threads we pull on throughout the book is that, you know, Marilyn Adams taught us this term, inside out versus outside in, and that many of the practices that we've relied on through the years are built on looking at reading from the outside and inferring what's going on inside.
Yes.
But that now we have more and more information about what's actually going on inside the brain.
Right.
And it turns out that some of that, what it tells us is that some of our previous practices are actually contrary, might have been making learning to read harder for kids. No teacher wants to do that.
Right.
And so the good news is there's information about what we can do to shift and make early literacy instruction, make learning to read easier, make early literacy instruction more aligned to what now we know from this huge body of science.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you said baby with the bathwater, and I think it's really important to us that everybody know going in, you know, each of those shifts is about reflecting on your current practice and deciding, what am I already doing that doggone I should keep doing that, because baby, that's on target.
Yeah.
What do I need to adjust in order to make a practice more aligned? And then yes, there are some practices that we need to let go of, like we need to replace them. And but the whole book isn't about start over. It's about finding the places that are right for you to make some shifts.
Mm-hmm. And that understanding what's going on in the reading brain, that inside out perspective, is really the foundation that just the thread that runs all the way through and supports understanding of the why for these instructional changes. And so it was really important to us that we, you know, that there was this knowledge building alongside really practical strategies that could be implemented quickly and easily.
Dee Dee, I was in that. I was saying I was in your, you did a Facebook Live a few weeks ago about reading comprehension.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, such a passion point for us that we don't let ourselves think that this is only a conversation about foundational skills, although that's a huge part of it.
Right.
Meaning is the ultimate goal of literate activity.
Yeah.
And so it was exciting to us to see the work that you're helping teachers do to really think about how to leverage read aloud in service of knowledge building and vocabulary building and building that, you know, chapter one helps us understand that reading comprehension begins long before reading begins.
Yes. You know, I was reading your book, and as I was reading, I'm like saying out loud, yes, yes. And my dogs were like, what's going on? Because it was so nice to hear. Okay. Some things that I believe are still valid. And you know, I know that one of my big concerns when I first started hearing about science of reading is the emphasis on decodable books. And I thought, you know, is that all we're going to put in our students' hand? Because those rich conversations, I knew the power of them. Mm-hmm. God, I knew the power of them. I could see it in my own classroom. I could see them as being deep thinkers beyond being in my own classroom. And if that's something that we're going to have to take away, I wasn't sure if I was buying into it. And of course, you know, that was definitely something that we didn't take away. We teach comprehension in the read aloud. And that's something that I'm really grateful that we have still something to hold on to that it's a fun part of the day, right? It's very fun. It invites students to talk and to think deeply about books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned talk, which of course is, you know, learning to read isn't something the human brain is built to naturally do, but learning to talk and using the oral language is something the brain is built to do. And that does become the foundation for later reading comprehension. And so we're such huge advocates of purposeful, intentional opportunities for kids to use language all day long and grow background knowledge and vocabulary through productive talk.
Look what I found.
Oh boy, Jan.
Yeah, I mean, this has been your story for a long time, right?
It has. Yes. Yeah. You have Carrie's other book over there.
That's a good one.
Yeah, a good one.
One thing that I was thinking about when I was thinking as I was doing my own research, and I think a lot of teachers as well, is that we always have in our classroom a group of, you know, let's just say, because I need easy math, let's just say we have 20 students. We always seem to have 4 or 5 students in our intervention group year after year after year after year. And, you know, now that what we understand about the way that learning language-based learning issues show up in 20% of the population, it makes us think that makes sense. If we're teaching in the way we used to, that these students are really not grasping it because their brain's not firing in the same way that maybe another student is. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that we have, because it's a horrible feeling to get to the end of the year and know that you've done, you know, you've worked really hard, they've worked mm-hmm. really hard, and yet they're still struggling. And mm-hmm. you know, as you send them off to the next grade, they're going to be in the intervention group and the intervention group. Here comes the other one. And they're just going to keep, you know, they're just going to keep being in that group. And so how lovely that it's like we have Superman powers now. I mean, we have things that we can do that will make a difference for those students.
You know, go ahead, Jen.
Well, I was just going to speak to, you know, when you think of superpowers, I think probably, I know you were originally going to talk about chapters 3 and 4 tonight.
Or 3 and 4, yeah.
Three and four. And that chapter 4, the chapter on high frequency words, that really is a place where those superpowers are kind of evident, that orthographic mapping and teaching sight words in this way that feels so counterintuitive, right? It's so contrary to what we were taught in our undergraduate and graduate classes, where we're actually teaching them to learn the sounds in these words that are so irregular. It really is, if you're looking for a starting point, it really is a great way to just dip your toes in the water and see some amazing results with kids.
Yeah.
I think that whole concept of orthographic mapping is one that every teacher is so much better equipped to create success for kids once he or she understands that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I was thinking as you were talking about intervention, DD, and, you know, kids whom we've not found the sweet spot in terms of, you know, making reading easier for them. Mm-hmm. So often, again, people, you know, maybe there's this perception that this whole conversation is about, you know, intentional phonics instruction. And that certainly is a big and important part of it. But the phonemic awareness piece, mm-hmm. you know, I guess we feel like it's not like people aren't working hard at teaching phonics and haven't been working hard at teaching phonics for a long time. You know, I know there are different approaches and degrees of that, but in many ways, we've really come to see how we, in so many cases, the maybe almost overemphasis on the phonic side of things with some underemphasis on the phonemic awareness piece. If you really, you have to pull on that interrelatedness mm-hmm. and really help kids develop this strong alphabetic principle, which is mm-hmm. this deep understanding of how the two go together. Phonemic awareness is another chapter too, where wow, we can do some exciting things for kids when we power up more there as well.
Mm-hmm. One thing that go ahead.
Well, I'm just noticing such sweet comments in the, it really like warms my heart when people are saying that they've read the book and it made them feel empowered or it was easy to read. I think Adrian saying enlightening, so sweet. Terry is saying, can you speak more about the course? Yes, I'm sure we can.
We're excited about the course. And it's asynchronous. There's about 2 hours. Each module has about 2 hours of video mm-hmm. split between understanding the science and really thinking about those principles for implementation. Mm-hmm. We do 2 live Q&A connection sessions, very much like this. We just get, you know, people who want to jump on live and have conversation. We do that twice during the class, and that's a highlight for us.
Mm-hmm. The videos are short. There may be 2 hours worth of them, but they're probably most of them are like 7 or 8 minutes long, and so you can kind of knock off, you know, a few at a time. They're also available in audio. So if you wanted to re-listen or if you're going for a walk.
We always say go for a walk because we need more exercise. So please take us for a walk.
Yes, we want to go for a walk.
That'd be perfect. We want to go for a walk.
Yes. So you have 9 weeks to do the 6 weeks or to do 6 modules. And it, you don't have to be like, week one is all about module one, although they do unlock one at a time. So after 6 weeks, all the content is unlocked, but you know, week one, we unlock module one, week two, we unlock module two. So it rolls, the content rolls out week by week for the first 6 weeks. And then there's 3 more weeks to do kind of digging deeper if you want to.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. I think sometimes if I have a course or something that I can watch and I have a year to watch it, because mm-hmm. I've done this before, like I watch something on like business things, they give you a whole year to watch, you know, I don't watch any of them because I have a whole year to do it.
Right.
So keeping that short is actually, I mean, it's not short, it's long, but keeping it not ever ending is a great way to hold ourselves accountable to complete it. Because otherwise, I'd never finish it. I'd be like, okay, I started, and then I'm like, I'll get to it. This way, you know, you've got to keep working towards it. So
The other thing we hear from teachers, we've heard from many teachers, is something to the effect of, I kind of wished everything was available all at once, but once I realized the power of having a week to really deeply focus on a topic, it just really kind of helped me to go deeper. And so, yeah.
Sorry, Carrie.
Yeah.
Every module we open the module, and then we open kind of the section about the instructional practices, and then we wrap up the module with just a video of us visiting, basically. And we try to do all kinds of interesting things.
We have some fun along the way.
There's some ukulele playing.
I don't know. Jan has you kind of.
Danny is saying some really nice things.
Oh, Danny's on here.
Yeah, she's on there. She's saying some really nice things about it. My goodness.
Danny, yes. We're so grateful, Danny. So
sweet.
But I mean, you know, we're passionate about the course because we're passionate about teachers having a really accessible way to just build their foundational knowledge, but get really actionable strategies that they can use with their, you know, kindergarten, first and second grade students right out of the chute.
Right away. You were talking about phonemic awareness and phonics and how intertwined they are. And one thing that I had been saying to teachers is I always think of phonics as like the race car, right? But phonemic awareness is the gas. And so if you don't have that, you're just going to, be sitting in
a pretty cool car. That's right. Anywhere.
So I love that those two are, I think with the science of reading and your book especially, how they are really delineated, because I don't know that a lot of us as teachers have had the instruction in the Let's Be a Teacher class that we were in that really underlined the importance. And I think as time has gone on, we really see how truly important those two are and how they work together.
Yeah,
you think I did the hand motion for that? Together. Yeah. Like a Von Trapp.
When Terry was doing this one.
Yeah. The thing about phonemic awareness is it's easy as a proficient reader to think, well, what's the big deal about pulling the sounds apart in a word? It's huge. And I mean, there's no reason human beings ever had to do that before they invented written language. And so maybe
it's not natural for the brain.
We've underestimated really how much intentionality and practice it takes for kids to get good at that, and how much that powers everything, including sight words, which is so counterintuitive. But I mean, that's one of the connections. It's like, what does building strong sight word knowledge have to do with phonemic awareness? A lot.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And I want to mention with the class, there's a guarantee. So if you're thinking, you're curious, like you, if after the first two modules, if they're done, you know, within 4 weeks, if after the first two modules, you think, no, this is not for me, then, you know, we'll give you
an email. And we will refund your money.
Yeah. So you have two modules to kind of test drive it, since we're in the car metaphors.
That's perfect. Right. I mean, that's very generous. And, but you know, some people might think, I don't know if this is going to help me or, we have Tanel here. She says she's a homeschool parent. And so she said, you know, she's really thankful for the things that you guys have put together. So it's wonderful that, you know, you may have a student or a child of your own who's struggling. You know, I share my sister struggled learning to read as well. And, you know, turns out dyslexia was in her wheelhouse there. So, you know, as parents who see their own child struggling, this is a great book. Even if you're not teaching the K-2 grades, you might have a third grader or a fourth grader who you're seeing some issues. And this gives you some insight on how you can make, you know, I'm going to keep using the word shift because it's the perfect word, but shift in your instruction so that you can have them realize success. And that's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the book is written for K-2 teachers, but every intermediate level teacher is, you know, probably has students who haven't yet unlocked reading, who are still really struggling to get a foothold, and understanding the beginnings of of literacy is going to benefit them to a great deal as well. And that anemic awareness piece is very likely a missing piece for many of those older kids who are struggling.
Yeah. Everyone who works with children on reading, regardless of the grade, needs to understand the science in this book. I mean, we hear from upper elementary teachers who are, and there is some, you know, there may be some places where there's some generalizations to be made, some adaptations to be made to higher grades, but we get a lot of feedback that they appreciate understanding how the brain is reading. So
the other thing, I guess I want to make sure we emphasize, and we always want to emphasize, is that we wrote this book as an entry point for anyone who's starting to get really curious about what is this conversation about the science of reading, and you know, what is it that we might have missed or misunderstood. But this is not an end-all be-all book. This is a getting started book, and there are lots of people in the field with way more expertise, deeper expertise, and next steps for anybody. Our hope is you'll read the book and go, oh yeah, now I'm ready for some of those other ways of learning more. So
yes, I love that.
That's important to us because
we're not neuroscientists.
We're not neuroscientists.
We're not claiming to be.
Yeah, and the book is, I mean, it's written to be an entry point. If you feel like you're far along on your journey of understanding all of this, you might be, you know, it might be another book that's for you.
You know, I'm, you know, I'm a year and a half into my journey. That sounds like the right expression. What I found was, it gave me the words to talk about it to people who aren't there yet, right? And so maybe you are in your building and you're carrying the science of reading flag up and down the hall, and you don't have anybody who's on your team yet because they are in a different mindset. This would be a great book for you to have so that you would be able to have that conversation and it's done in such a gentle way. I feel like this year and a half has been really hard on teachers and parents and students and the whole, you know, people who are breathing in and exhaling every day. It's been hard. But teachers have had a really rough go of it. And so I love the gentle approach that you guys brought to this. You didn't sugarcoat it. You didn't say, oh, you know, you keep doing what you're doing. But you said, you know, if you were doing this, this is how you can make a slight change to make it more aligned to what we know students need, kids, how they learn to read. So I do love that.
Yeah. Well, thanks. That means a lot to us. And that's a really important piece to us, is to be really respectful and supportive of teachers and all that they're up against.
Yeah, it's been a time, hasn't it?
But
it is a great, somebody said this would be a great whole building book, and I agree 1,000%. I was talking to my friend Adam Peterson, I was telling the ladies before, and I was saying, oh, the book is, you know, shifting the balance. And he said, well, I don't know what that, and I sent him a picture, and he's like, oh my gosh, my wife, Trisha, she's a second grade teacher, their whole building is doing the book study. So it's just, I think when people see, first of all, can I just tell you how much I love these colors? Can I just these colors make my heart so happy. But the book is so recognizable on top of it. So we love a pretty book cover.
Stenhouse did a great job.
Stenhouse did a beautiful job. And the colors on the cover are pretty, but what we love is if you can show the page bleed on the side, it's really easy navigation because, you just know that green chapter, that's famous awareness. And we hope it becomes like a guidebook that you dig back in when you're thinking about this topic, you can dig right back into that.
And in the online class, we color coded the online class to match the books. So when you're
we
in,
love coding.
We love color coding.
And loves labels too, but we really love color coding.
So when you're in Phonemic Awareness, you're in that color. And when you're
green,
in
baby, everywhere. Phonics.
Give me all the colors.
We also, though, have lots of resources. You know, we have our online class. We also have lots of free resources on our site. And if you're thinking of doing a book study, we have videos there. Oh, and also we have the Stenhouse book study guide is there, and lots of resources to support you in your book study that are just free resources. And we have a download page that has downloads that support
all kinds of things to download.
Every chapter in the book.
All kinds of stuff.
One day I stumbled into that area of that web. I just put the link up there again, y'all, so you can find it. I stumbled into the downloads and I was like, this is gold. Like you had the downloads for the phonemic awareness.
Yeah.
It's gold. I mean, that is amazing. So please make sure that you go check that out also. Do you do school tours? They want to know.
We do. PD in schools. We do.
Road trip?
We do.
Road trip, yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. So I told the ladies that we were going to keep it to 30 minutes, and now it's been 35. So let's go ahead. Let me see if I'm going to, you guys talk amongst yourselves. I'm just going to go over here and see if I can pick a winner. If you have not entered, you have like 3.3 seconds to do that.
This is so exciting. I've never seen
so
this.
Exciting. I mean, Dee Dee is like the queen of just managing technology and keeping it all going. And
well, listen, I have this recorded. So every time something fails, I'm just going to go in and like, I'm going to listen to you say that again and again.
Oh, we're impressed, man. We are really impressed.
So we are ready.
I'm usually like, where's the chat box now, James?
I don't know if I can really share this in here, but we had 380 people. So it went up quite a bit. So we had over 2,000 individual entries. So we're ready to award. The first winner is Sophia.
What are they going to win, Dee Dee?
First winner is going to win a seat at your course.
So
the grand prize.
So excited.
So Sophia, you have the word Yahoo in there. So Sophia, I don't want to say the whole thing, .com. So if you are here, Sophia, will you please make sure you let us know? Say, I'm here.
Yeah.
The other person who won a seat is C. Schwartz. And she has, it looks like she is from Canada. Miss Schwartz, it doesn't tell me the name. I could probably dig deeper. Sophia Anderson, I see you right there. That's you.
Yay!
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you're here. So you are going to get an email from somebody.
From somebody. Us. Yes.
I'm going to get your email over to the powers that be.
So we can tell you our email right now, and she could just email us. We've got her name.
Perfect.
Our email is janandcarrie@gmail.com. So it's easy to remember. Just
Jan and
Carrie.
K-A-N-A-N-R-I@gmail.com.
And Christy Schwartz is here too. Christy, you got like a ton of entries because you must have been sharing it all over the place. So I'm glad you're
good
here.
Good for you, Christy Schwartz. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Christy.
Yay. We're so excited to have you both in the course.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So good. And then the next person who is winning a copy of their book is also a Canadian. I'm believing you're all Canadian because I see .ca. And it's A. Gallant, G-A-L-L-A-N-T, some more letters in the email. So A. Gallant. The other person, it's A. Forever, C-O-U-G. So if that person is here, I feel like I'm talking code. So he also won. Jan and Carrie, there's only one R, Sophia, in
K-A-R-I, yes.
K-A-R-I,
yeah.
And if you have trouble, if you go to our website, there's a you know, there's an email message thing there too, that is a way to get us an email, but it's Jan and Carrie at Gmail.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then the last person for the book, congrats, A4F Cough. Yep, that's the person who that is. And then Janet, is it Reardon? Also wins a copy of your book. So Janet, she commented above, so I know she's here too. All right, so I think
wonderful.
All five of the winners. I will make a copy of these emails and get them over to you, find people as well.
Thank you.
But I'm
thank you so much, Dee Dee.
This has been such an honor. Thank you so much for being here and talking with teachers and right, mostly, I mean, that's awesome, but writing the book has been, I mean, it's just been a changing, it's changed a lot of teachers. I think it's brought the anxiety level down. And somebody's at the front door, Alexis. So, anyhow, thank you.
Thank you so much, Katie.
We love this.
We
so much fun.
Yeah, we want to thank you. We want to thank everybody who showed up on a Sunday night. Teachers are amazing. Look at this. Throw out an announcement on a Sunday afternoon and they just show up on a Sunday night.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for all your work with children, and have a great learning week. And we're just so grateful.
All right. Bye, guys. Be safe.
Goodbye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Classroom Collaborative Podcast.
If you are enjoying these episodes, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you are finding them.
And share and rate it so others can find it as well.
We'll see you guys on the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Bye.